Good morning, everyone, and welcome again. And thank you for that beautiful song. Don't I say that every Sunday? Every Sunday, it's a beautiful song. And this morning, crazy morning for me especially, but I know that we're feeling it. And that song, Surely the Presence, got me grounded. It got me here and it got me present. And so I so appreciate that. And thank you always for that music. Won't you get empty with me this morning? And let's begin by taking a deep breath in and fill up your lungs. And please just hold that breath at the top if you're able to. Squeeze up every muscle that you can find and then let it all go. And always be free to take a few of those cleansing breaths if you need them. It is a great way to let go of the physicalness of our being for a little while and come into a more interiorized state. And that's one reason that we close our eyes, to bring our attention inward. Imagine everything that you've come with to this moment, your entire lifetime perhaps, this last week definitely, whatever happened this morning. Become aware of it all at once as the past. And won't you let that go with me? By simply releasing it. Imagine your hands opening up and maybe even turn your palms face up and allow your hands to be open so that not only the past can be free to leave, but that the now can be free to come in. And with that, we take another breath and we become very aware of its flow into us and its flow out of us. That every breath we take is this symbolism of bringing in the new, having it immediately become old, and releasing it. Seems so easy when we breathe, yet when we try to stop the mind of all of its attachments, it becomes much more complicated. So instead of trying to do anything this morning, we simply turn our focus somewhere else. We allow to be present whatever is present, every noise, every smell, all temperature, any feeling, any pain, anything that's going on, we allow it to be. And we breathe into it as if we were breathing in medicine. And breathing out, release. We take a moment to bring the awareness deep down into the sacrum at the tailbone until you are very aware of this area. And we invite the sacred energy of life to soften and begin to move up towards God, towards the divine, towards spirit, until it finds the heart center. Reaching out in an omnipresent way to become aware, as the song said, of every blade of grass, every leaf of the tree, and every drop of water as the presence of God and of life. From our heart, we are connected to it all, with it all, a part of it all. And we take that awareness right to the spiritual eye, through even the brain, until we rest at the center of awareness. And you can imagine around you that same fog of this morning. Peer through it with a laser focus, and you will see a light. This is the ever-guiding light of God. And so with pure faith, we move towards it. with every amount of concentration that we can find until our focus is pure on this light and we meditate together. And now bring this light into your being, into your mind. Let it fill your entire cranium. Let it move down your shoulders and feel your shoulders, fill your rib cage, your lungs, your stomach, all of your organs, down your hips, your legs, into your feet. Let this divine light overtake you until you are filled with the Spirit. And then at once, in an easy gesture, we simply open up our eyes. And you can move your fingers or your toes or whatever you'd like to move and kind of come present back into your body. It's always such a strange transition coming from a meditation into a talk, but let's try it. What a bizarre time it is in our world. And I don't know if you feel that way. I spoke with Bob Egan yesterday. Bob and I are becoming pretty good friends, and I said to him, it's really bizarre. And he echoed it. He said, it's really bizarre. And that's the word. And then, yesterday was pretty cloudy, smoky, foggy. I don't know quite what that mix is, and I thought this is pretty intense until I woke up this morning. And it was even more so, even thicker. And so I don't know how your morning has been, but my morning's been busy. I think I did 4 sets of stairs here at the church, running up and down. I got here later than I wanted to, and I felt pretty crazy, like I said, until we sang that song and I finally got grounded here. But this interesting thing happened because I was running a little late, and I live over in Lake Stevens. And I was coming across the trestle there, and it was very foggy. I could only see, you know, enough in front of me to not worry that I was going to run into somebody. And everything opened up for me. And as I came into Everett and I'm driving up Pacific Avenue, every light was green. It was the strangest thing. And I just sailed right into the church with perfect flow. And I realized that I hadn't been worried about it. I hadn't been trying to figure out how to plot a better course or what would happen if I was late. I was just driving in the fog with faith. Maybe that should be the title of this morning's talk, Driving in the Fog with Faith. And I don't know what it is, but I think that the fog and how I've been feeling about it, the smoke, however you want to call it, I'm pretty sure that it's a metaphor. And some people say, no, it's the forest fire. That's true. But everything in life, to me, is symbolic and it represents something. And so this smoke, this inability to see in front of us, is very relative to what's going on in the world. And I think about that. Is everything a parable? Is everything a metaphor? Well, yes, it is. I was reminded about the barrels of water. And if you can imagine, you know, 20 barrels sitting there with the water inside of them, and then the moon up in the sky, and the reflection of that moon in each barrel. And if you bump one of the barrels, the ripples in the water obscure the reflection of the moon. And if you shake one of the barrels, you can barely even recognize the moon. Another barrel might be still water and reflecting it better than the other barrels that are moving, and having this perfect moon look different in each barrel. And those barrels are like us, and we reflect spirit in different ways depending on what obscures us. We shine our light differently. Not that it's good or bad, it's just different. And so all of these metaphors speak to me in this strange kind of a way. And, you know, quite honestly, there's some Sunday mornings, being a Sunday speaker each Sunday, I think it would be a disservice to try to write talks throughout the week and articulate some perfect talk. Sometimes that happens. But more than not, I like to open up and say, what do you want to say today, Spirit? And so this morning, I really had nothing to talk about except powerlessness. And powerlessness is something that I've been dealing with a lot. Being a 12-step guy and working with other people in the 12 steps, we really deal with powerlessness. And we take a good look at our lives and we say, what's my part in this? What am I trying to control? Like my story about traffic. If I were trying to control that, wouldn't I run into every roadblock? So what am I powerless over? Well, pretty much everything in the physical world. I can control it for a while, but then I become powerless over it. Other people, good luck, Kevin. You can control them for a little while, but it always is a dead-end street until we allow life to flow. So this turned into this weird thing. I was given a parable. It's a parable of Jesus in the Bible. From Matthew in chapter 13, there's a whole bunch of parables, and they're very difficult to understand. It's the thing where a lot of people say, is Jesus crazy? What's he talking about with all these planting seeds and some grow and some don't? And how does that relate to the reality of our world? And how is it even relevant today? And isn't it weird that Bible book that was written all those years ago and Jesus that lived all these centuries ago, that those teachings are very relevant today? I remember one time in our Happy Hearts group, one of the participants thought it would be a wonderful idea to get mustard seeds, because there's this parable about the mustard seed. And so she went out and she got a bag of mustard seeds. And now the bottom of this little tiny plastic bag was barely full, and I think she had about 100 of those seeds, because they're tiny. And she said, does everybody want a mustard seed? Everybody said, yeah, give me one of those. And you know, she took out this little thing and she couldn't even hardly take less than three out of there with her little pinch. She put it in their hand and we all looked at that little thing and we started thinking about that parable. And you know, it really makes you think, this physical little thing that's barely a speck. And what Jesus said about it in Matthew 31, I'll just read you the exact parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. And you can imagine this little seed being planted in his field. As it is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes like a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The smallest little thing grows into this great tree of life, and it opens up. And now all the birds are landing in it, building nests, there's little insects, there's all kinds of life happening from this little seed. And he relates that to the kingdom of heaven. He said it's just like that seed. And so how do we realize that kind of presence within ourselves? How do we go from a little thought, there's not going to be enough? What are we going to do? Am I going to die from this thing that's happening? Am I going to breathe in too much smoke and is it going to hurt me? All these things, how do we get through that to realize this great presence of the kingdom of heaven that's within us? And so it gave me another sort of a parable of my own, I guess you could call. You can imagine yourself here now in your respective communities, wherever you're at, and you imagine all the little dramas that are happening, maybe in your family, in your house, in your world, in your community, you know, all around you. And if you could lift up, fly up above the earth about 40 feet, and you could look down, and you could see all these little pockets of things going on, and you'd be out of it, and you'd be observing it happening. And then if you could go up a little higher, pretty soon you could see all these little dramas happening. And the higher that you go, the less relevant they are to you in your life. And you start to get a visual of it, even so much that you begin to see the smoke as a little circle over a few states. And then you begin to see the world. This is what happens to astronauts, and they're always breathless. They go, oh, because they get the realization, they get perspective, and they begin to develop a faith that is beyond what happens when we're smack dab in the middle of it, believing that that's our reality. It's just where we think we are. So this whole thing, growth, expansion, it speaks of omnipresence, the ability within ourselves to see the kingdom of heaven and from the kingdom of heaven, to realize that this is a passing picture show. And then we gasp when we hear that. How can you say that when I've got this happening and that happening? I maybe have bills to pay. Somebody in my family's dying and you call it a picture show and I'm hurting. And that's what faith is all about, at least for me. So Jesus says a couple other things about this little mustard seed in different parts of the Bible. Later on in Matthew, he says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." We've all heard the saying, you can move mountains with your faith. And haven't you done magnificent things in your life? And won't you do them again? And what mountain are they talking about? What mountain do you perceive? And what do you believe is possible to you right now in this moment? And are you willing to change it, to expand it, to grow it, to water your little mustard seed in your field until it becomes a giant tree that you get to behold? Okay, let's see. It's always interesting giving metaphors because you can go so many places with them. So what I want to do so I can stay on track is introduce you to Jim Lewis. And Jim Lewis is a Unity guy, and I honestly don't know much about him. So I'm not going to get into exactly everything that he did in his life. But he wrote a little piece about this parable, and I just want to share with you what he says. He talks again about another part of this parable where Jesus says, "If you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to the sycamine tree, be rooted up and planted in the sea." And how ridiculous does that sound, to uproot a tree and plant it in the sea? Might make a nice song because it rhymes. "And it would obey you." If you said to that tree, move and be planted somewhere else, it would obey you. It would literally stand up, and if you've seen Lord of the Rings, you know it's possible. And the tree would lift up, and it would walk over to the sea, and it would plant itself, and there it would be. Right? But Jim says that would be quite a feat, literally, because trees do not grow in the sea. But the apostles knew Jesus was not talking literally or scientifically. He was seeking to help them realize the great potential for faith. I've talked a lot of times about those cheesy, Jesus movies. Those ones that are kind of silly when you start watching them, and the apostles are always like this. They're always freaked out, you know? And then after they get the awakening, after the great comforter comes and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, which is another metaphor, they always get very sure of themselves, but in a humble way. And that's what faith is like when we lay a hold of it. We go from freaked out to sure, but we're sure not in ourselves. We're sure of the kingdom of heaven that is within us. And we begin, instead of trying to dictate our lives, to allowing the presence of Spirit to flow through us and bring into manifestation what is meant to be. And I will guarantee you this. It works with every problem, no matter what. No matter how big our egos think it is, when we apply that simple principle, when we lift up and get that macro view, and we say, oh, we can change that through our faith. So Jim says, what is faith? And what is the kingdom of God? Just a couple simple little questions, right? What is faith to you? Think about that. What is the kingdom of God to you? Do you get tripped up on the words? Maybe you were raised in a religion that did some damage to you. Does the word God raise the hackles on the back of your neck? What is it? Both are compared with a mustard seed, he says. Faith is the ability of the mind to open and perceive reality. And then he says something very interesting. The outer factual world is not the real world, or as we often say, it is not real. Course in Miracles 101, and one of the biggest arguments in all of spirituality. Is it an illusion? What is it? He says, the real world is not this. To be real, something must be eternal and unchanging. All appearances are constantly changing. Reality is that which is true in principle and not what we want to be true. Can you imagine if you got everything you wanted? I mean, seriously, if you got all the wealth, the abundance, if you got everything that you wanted, wouldn't your living room be stuffed through the rafters with stuff? And it's exactly this that we are talking about. Charles Fillmore talked about the 12 powers, which was the culmination of his life's work. It's really the development of the chakras, the awareness of the divine subtle energy that flows through us. He talked about it as 12 power centers in us that we can cultivate. But he said, please don't take this on if you have worldly ambitions, because it will set up cross currents that are destructive to not only your physical body, but your very soul. Here we are again, being pulled into the earth to stay here for something and being pulled up higher into the kingdom of heaven. So we must let go of the worldly attachments, but how do we do that, especially when we want an outcome? You ever notice when you want something so bad it hurts, and then you get it and you're like, oh, shiny thing, I want that too. And we just want more and more and more. But yet when we come to the practice of meditation, the presence of meditation, don't you always feel that with me? When we stop for a minute, I always hear everybody go, oh. It's like, thank you for giving me this moment of respite, this moment to practice my faith that that spiritual light, that lighthouse on the sea, is guiding me not to where I want to go, but to what is best for my heart and soul as a spiritual human being. What an idea that is, that we can be free in everything that we do. And then as we let go of our attachments, guess what happens? We get everything we want, but we don't need it anymore. Passion, the very word passion, when we're passionate about something, it literally means suffering. Passio means suffering. We suffer for having something, for wanting something so bad. Yet at the same time, doesn't it give us this great feeling of aliveness? Those two can come together. There's a word in the Indian tradition, moksha. And moksha literally means spiritual liberation. Well, I'm not sure if that's literal, but that's what it represents, spiritual liberation. That we come to a place where we say, I release everything so that I can know you more. And who is you? Simply the divine. The thing that gives us life, that's beyond all form and matter, the thing, the only thing that is real. So you see, I come to the end of my metaphors because I need to go and sit and contemplate what has happened. I need to go and practice faith the size of a mustard seed and to go in the depths of my own soul, contact the divine, and know that I am being guided. And so I invite you to come with me, won't you? To look upon your life and your community, to rise above and not look down upon, but observe and see that everything comes from Spirit and will return, and that the temporary world, as beautiful as it is, pales in comparison to the kingdom of heaven that we lay a hold of now. And we do that together. Thank you.